morning. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education workshop. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024. The time is 5:30. Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Almost said what?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is our discussionary items, and I will turn that over to Superintendent Shaw.
All right, I appreciate that. So the first item we have is Delegate Assembly, which is Mary Vincent.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, you were all sent the Delegate Assembly Handbook. In the handbook, it's lengthy, but in the handbook, there are some topics that I just need general input on. So for... there's continuing resolutions, amended resolutions, new and substituted resolutions, and then bylaw proposals. So those are the four content areas. To expedite, we're going to go through them one at a time. So when it comes to continuing resolutions, did anybody have content that they felt needed to be added, edited, or deleted from the proposed continuing resolutions as they were presented? Next. So, for amended resolutions, we're moving on. So, they're making fun of me.
No.
That's on the record. So, amended resolutions, there were several that were put up in the handbook. Does anybody have content that they would like to add, edit, or delete from those amended resolutions?
I was going to leave that to your discretion since you know a lot more about this than I do.
Okay, yeah. Understood. Okay.
We elected you.
Thank you. Okay, new and substituted resolutions. There's one around suicide prevention and education. There is a larger conversation that's happening, as we all know, as we've all discussed in our own board meetings. So does anybody have any additions or deletions from the new and substituted resolutions?
Something like that, because I always goof it up. But that's okay.
And then last but not least are the bylaws proposals. So these are like the guiding bylaws of MASB. Does anybody have content that they would like to add, edit, or delete from the bylaw proposals?
I don't have anything to delete or correct, but I just thought they were interesting to read them.
Yes.
A little bit different.
Yes.
A little bit.
So just as a quick overview, so Delegate Assembly is happening on Thursday. I believe it starts at 7 o'clock p.m. It is, you can watch it via live stream. And the way that it runs is basically like a massive board meeting, because last year there were like 800 people in attendance and we all vote. Well, not all of us. The voting delegates vote, so there was probably 200 people that were voting, which is very interesting to watch that process. And then there is opportunity for people at the conference to, in real time, go up and like rewrite a proposal and then stand at a microphone and basically present like, these are the changes that I'm submitting. And then the whole group votes on whether or not those changes go into effect. You are welcome to email me up to the Delegate Assembly if you reread this and there's content that you would like for Monroe Public Schools to add, edit, or delete from any of the things that we've discussed.
Can I have a question?
You will be there.
Sure.
You're going to be there in person, right?
Yes. Yep, because in order to... yeah, I'm going to go up for the entire conference, so I'm going to be there Thursday through Sunday, and I'm going to be completing most of my school finance certification through them that weekend. Well, week/weekend. But the Delegate Assembly only happens on that Thursday evening.
Okay.
And, yes.
Is there anything
that you, as our representative, duly elected, would think would be applicable to Monroe Public Schools specifically, that may be something that we as a institution may want to look at?
So the suicide prevention and education, which is one of the new and substituted resolutions that's being brought up for MASB, I think we as a board, we also may want to kind of consider what that might look like for us when it comes to potential policy, but also to consider like the educational programming that we offer to our students and what that might look like as well.
Because the MSB is putting forth their recommendations along with a lot of others to the legislation.
Yes.
When time comes.
Yeah. So, like, that's the purpose of the Resolutions and Bylaws Committee.
Right.
And then MASB also has, like, a legislative committee that I'm not a part of. However, this is, like, the guiding tenets for how they then interact with the legislature. And these will become, like, the foundation points for how MASB advocates for public schools. Any other questions or comments?
If we decide we want to email you, do we use our Monroe email to email?
Yes, please. If you would please email me at my regular Monroe email address, which is just my last name and then all the gobbledygook after it.
Gobbledygook.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Seuss.
Get it right.
That's Dr. Seuss. So if you would like to email me any of those things up until the delegate assembly starts, I am happy to do the process of making a recommendation for new wording, edited wording, deleted wording, whatever that looks like.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Mary.
Yep, I'd just like to thank Mary for representing us at MASB and attending the sessions, etc. Thank you, Mary.
A lot of time.
A lot of time, yeah, it is.
All right, well, thank you very much, Mary. Next up is employee insurance update. So currently we are a cap district, which means we're going to allocate only so much money towards employees for their health insurance. In the current year, that's $7,702 for a single person, $16,109 for a two-person, and $21,007 for a full family. Next year, for the 25 year, we're going to go for a single person, so from $7,702 all the way up to $7,718.
From 2 to 18. Okay.
Two person, we're gonna go from $16,109 to $16,141, and for a full family, $21,007 to $21,049. And that is, the state of Michigan sets those caps every year on or about, I think it's Marchish, that we see those numbers come in. So they moved it a whopping 0.02%. Okay. Generally, we would see anywhere from like a 2.5 to a 3.5 movement. And so that means that nominal increase doesn't impact our budget hardly at all, but the increases that would come in from MESA go all the way on the backs of the employees. So that's what they would be receiving. So over a year ago, it's actually almost 2 years now, we started having formed a committee, and that committee is union leadership. So you got your administrators, your secretaries, your maintenance guys, and our teachers to start doing education and start looking at options. So last year we brought in CAPNIC, and that was a group we used when I was at Mason to walk through that world. And last year we only saw about a $200,000 savings. And so not enough pressure to create movement, okay? Not enough money to save, okay? But this year, we went back out and marketed because we had an inkling that MESA rates were going to jump. We knew that because a year ago, MESA bought down rates by a tune across the state of $50 million. So they bought down their rates. So we knew that. So currently, for the 24 year for medical, we're as a school district, we're paying $5,711,000 for medical. Okay. MESA.
Our cost, right?
No, that's total. That's premiums. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Total premiums. So it doesn't take an HSA. That's premiums. Okay. MESA went up 14% or to $6.5 million. or $800,000 increase. All right? So we went out and we did what they called marketing and had looked at different options out there, for all the way from self-insurance to Priority to Blue Cross Blue Shield, which Mesa is Blue Cross Blue Shield, okay? And Blue Cross Blue Shield was the only ones to quote, and they came in with their Simply Blue plans and at a tune of $5.2 million. So a $500,000 savings onto the employees. So we've sat down with the groups and went through it. The biggest changes that they have is they go from 36 visits in chiropractic care down to 12. There's no more massage therapy.
Damn.
You go from 60 visits for physical therapy down to 30, okay? And the only other difference on there was hearing aid. So Mesa had built in a hearing aid partial. So we also, though, put in a hearing aid rider only because of the largeness of our group, and so that there'd be a rider placed in there. And
you're saying our groups are all getting older?
I did not say that. I'm saying that the size of our group.
Oh, the size of our
size
group.
The
size of our group.
Speaking of hearing problems.
Thank you. And so when it was all said and done, the union went through, and I'm going to go through and give you some numbers right here, what it begins to look like. We came recommending, when we talked as a large group, three different plans. And because what we learned about was that our teachers and counselors pay one rate, and everybody else pays a whole nother rate in our school district. So we were divided, you know, there where everyone else was paying more than the teachers and counselors. And then we had four plans. So what we did is we were moving over to a $500,000 traditional. I'm sorry, getting these numbers right here. Make sure I get this correct. A $1,000, $2,000deductible program, a $2,000, and that's a 100% coverage, $2,000, $4,000 HSA, and then a $2,500, $5,000 HSA. And the amazing part about the two HSAs is their max out of pocket is $4,000, $8,000, and this coming year in 25, you can put in there a full family member up to $8,400 into your HSA. So if people fund their HSAs, the most that can come out is $8,000. What's most interesting is in this process, the plans came in for that full family member right there. I'm gonna get to the total number for you. Sorry. Back to my first screen here. There it is. So we're just gonna kind of give you an idea of what the costs were. So for current year, if you were the $501,000 plan, okay, which they don't have anymore. You got to go to an 80-20 plan for that. That a single person was paying $3,300 a year, two-person $8,800, a full family was paying $10,000. The Mesa numbers for next year would be $5,000 for a single, so from $3,300 to $5,000, two-person from $8,800 to $12,500, wow. Full family from $10,000 to $14,600.
Whoa.
Yeah.
40%.
So they didn't take another bunch of money out to try to help.
They didn't help
cost.
Them. So all that to say, when we look at these new plans, that the $1,000, $2,000 traditional deductible program, that one right there for a single person is $1,300 a year, so going from $3,300 to $13,000. Two person going from $8,800 current year to $5,400, and full family going from $10,000 down to just under $6,000. Wow. Okay, so they stay in the traditional deductible. Mm-hmm. If they went to the first HSA, which is a 100% plan, $2,000, $4,000, single would go to paying $148 for the year. A two person would be paying $2,700 a year, and a full family between paying $2,500 a year for that plan.
But their actual out of pocket.
It's their premiums are that, it's the HSA that they're going to be, yeah. So they'll be putting money into their HSA. But what the math becomes is how much were you already going to pay on premium if you stay in the traditional deductible, and where does it go? So lots of education to our employees will be coming. But the best one was, this last one, which was a $2,500, $5,000 HSA as an 80-20 plan. And for a single person, it's $928 a year below the cap. So that money would go into their HSA. If for a two-person, it's $154 a premium for the year. And for a full family, they're going to get $679 put into the HSA because it's below the cap.
Okay.
So it only costs them $159 a year for insurance.
So that two person, right there on that plan, they pay $154 for the year.
No monthly costs?
Their money would have to go in their HSA if they needed it to.
And the money that goes in the HSA is their money.
Their money.
Into their HSA.
That's it.
So it's $8,000.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a shift. It's a shift because, yeah. But they can, if you think back to that if you go back to the two person that was paying $8,800 already this year, I mean, they're going to automatically go down and they're going to save over $800 next year if they fully funded their HSA right there.
It works if you're healthy.
Well, in this one, that's why I said the max out of pocket is $8,000.
HSA dollars over.
Okay. Right. That's HSA dollars carry over.
Yeah, I thought they changed that. Yeah.
But it's all about.
Retire, then you can take it all out tax free.
Yep. Lots of education going to happen. So the teachers union, which is our largest group, last week took it to a vote, and it was they had 100 people vote. If you know the answer, you cannot say it out loud. But if you don't know the answer, give me an idea on what you think the percentage was voted yes to make a change. What do you think, Carrie? Do you know that answer already?
I think you might have
told. Okay, so you can't answer. Sorry. Tom?
I'm going to suggest probably 99%. There's always a stray one vote.
Yep.
That's where I'm at, 99%.
So it was 96. Which was still amazing because which you have to always remember, we only had about 30-ish come to the meeting. So we held multiple meetings for everybody. So they didn't have a lot of people come. So we were expecting this. But then you also have people that are just really tight to the union going, from some of us that are older out here going, you know, Mesa came in. We were part of it way back when. This is a deterioration of a benefit and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, these are real world pieces right there. So all that to say that we are One Monroe. There's three plans being offered. They've all said yes. We signed the documents today, and it puts our employees in great shape. One of the things we're working on that we'll be able to give you guys, and this will be latter January, probably early February, is truly how much savings. So we'll see how everyone shifts. What we're going to anticipate is a lot of people are actually going to slice straight over that HSA. Because of how much money goes in there, and the max risk is $8,000. And so, you know, if you're that full family person, you're already used to paying $10,000, you're automatically going to save two right there. And actually, it's $2,600 because of how much the school's putting in. There's no risk right there because you're going to be out the 10 plus the 11 of the other way there. So it's just a great opportunity for all of our employees, and we're excited for this. The other part being is their dental and vision plans. So dental and vision are all the same across the district too. So nobody gets anything better. So the medical, dental, and vision, it is one united group. The only differentiation is if contracts called for short-term or long-term or life insurance amounts, okay? So you're gonna hear a lot, you'll be hearing employees talk about it, but over the next few weeks, it's gonna really ramp up employee meetings on site. They're creating videos for them. They'll be also, we're doing open enrollment the week of the 18th. Of November, so that way everything is in Kaepnick's hands, because we have to have it really December 1st. It's all done so it can go to the carrier, so our employees can have cards for January 1. Even though you don't need to have a card, I did experience that when I was at Mason, where people thought we didn't have health insurance because they didn't have their cards. Like, no, we do, and I take care of a lot of myths and rumors very quickly. But this is a great opportunity for our employees right here. With the long-term thinking of how do we always work to try and create great plans at the least amount of premium as possible to save our employees money. So lots of good stuff coming that way. So putting real money.
This is only direct employees. This doesn't cover edge of staff?
Nope, just employees that are offered health insurance by Monroe Public Schools.
Okay.
Yep.
When I heard about this, I also asked Andy about whether or not the health insurance coordinates with their auto insurance to pay primary for auto accident injuries, because that would be additional cost to the teachers, to the staff.
And it does. So the Blue Cross Blue Shield does cover auto first, and then so this is a true win for our employees right there. And the cool thing was, for some of our employee groups, they're going to actually do better because on their dental and vision, what we did is we created a level, whatever the highest number was in a plan, in a contract group, all plans went up to that level, okay? And the reason for it was there's going to be some pinch points, okay, that the dentist that you were normally would see may not be in network. So you're going to have to make a decision, go in there and arm wrestle, will we take our in-network fee that we're willing to pay, or are you going to be willing to change? And plus, we
your dentist, huh?
But the idea is, though, we really wanted to create a unified one Monroe. And honestly, our people believe this and they see it, and that group right there. And what's even better is throughout this next year, we're going to do a lot of educating, because you guys, if you know anything about this, claims equals rising costs, right? And so how do we best watch our claims, knowing what they are, which we never could see before with Mesa? We still won't be able to look at by a person. They'll be coded, but CAPNIC will be able to actually look at claims and then help create education plans around what they're seeing right there. So again, that's how you control those costs for the future.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big change.
It's good stuff. Yep.
My doctor actually joined the network for me.
Yep. That's a beautiful part we've been telling them, is that that's CAPNIC's job. If your doctor's not in network, mm-hmm. here's the email, make the phone call, and they'll go and work to get them in network right there. And so, yeah. The only big thing that, for anyone that knows, Delta Dental was always the dental carrier through Mesa. Well, Delta Dental cannot bid against themselves, so we have to stay away from them for 1 year. So we're using Guardian, at least for this first year right here. Vision is still VSP, so that didn't change anything in their world there.
Then after 1 year, can you go back to Delta?
Then after that, we can take a look at it if it's needed. It's all about the disruption, and so that's talking with our employees about how that first year went, anything that they'd like to see changed right there. Yeah. But paying $14,000 a year for your health insurance was a little bigger.
Yeah.
And that was a funny thing.
Just in context
You have to switch. Well, that was the biggest thing we had to help our employees understand was, like, hold on, I don't get 36 chiropractic visits. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, it costs you, as we learned and we held a meeting here, $38 for a chiropractic visit. Well, how many chiropractic visits are you going to need before you lose a dollar out of your pocket compared to what you were paying in premium dollars? So it's just a conversation there with them. But still, the teachers union, proud of them, great education, and to go out and get a 96% favorability vote was amazing. Honestly, it was. So exciting times right there. So we did have a question come in on capital assets review. And so I asked Cassie to bring forward and to discuss that, and then answer any questions you might have around the capital assets, because it's a it's an extremely large document. So we wanted to make sure that brought clarity to it. So Cassie?
Sure. I don't know if you want me to put it on the page or on the screens at all.
That'd be fine.
That'd be good.
So we can just see it.
So for the audit, we have to prepare a capital asset schedule. And our policy is anything $5,000 or more, any piece of equipment or like construction project that's $5,000 or greater gets logged down there. Sorry, I'm just trying to log in at the same time I'm talking. So like some of the things from last year, for example, was the welders that CTE got with the grant through the state. There was the Suburban that was purchased. There was, I'm working on it.
It's easier to see it while you're talking.
Sure.
It's 800 lines too, that's why.
Yeah.
It's a big document.
But my question was specific too, so.
Yeah.
You want to know which.
Why, if we had some technology.
Sorry.
Yeah, from last year was 14.4. That was my question.
Right.
So,
right, and that's why I think she was.
Smile, Dave.
That's the bond stuff, is what those numbers. Yeah.
That's from all the funds. So, that would be anything in the bond fund, food service equipment that's purchased. It's any assets of the district. Well, I thought it was coming
up. So, Cassie, when food services purchases assets, capital assets, that's a ours then? That's not, even though it comes out of
It comes out of the food service fund, but it's still Monroe Public Schools property.
But assets are more than just fund.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
It, actually, Sodexo is earning that money for themselves, so that's how I look at it. I mean, they're selling the product and they get money. So I thought if they purchased something, that would be a capital asset in case they left. You know, they could take it with them. We'd have to take it off of books, etc.
It's not asking. It hasn't asked for the code yet.
Well, we did. It comes out of our
the room.
Food
oh, okay.
service fund, yeah. But I didn't know.
So they wouldn't even take it with them, right?
Well, they can't, yeah. That was the question, really.
Oh, okay. So
they can't take it with them.
Okay, they can't. Okay. Yeah, because
it was right. Yeah. Because at that time, this stuff would be no good anyway.
Well, of course.
Sorry, my computer is being a little difficult. I'm.
I had the same issue with the food truck.
There you go. Oh, there you go.
Your tech guy is sitting right there. Come on,
Dave. I'm going to send it to him.
He's doing over there.
He's working on it.
He's on it now. Okay. These were the simple things in life.
No.
Sharing a document? No.
Well, you'd think.
The 12A6 tube is burnt out.
I just sent it to you.
His job security for Dave.
Yeah, right.
I feel we should have a Jeopardy.
No. Did I teach you well?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need me yet.
And we even have to log construction in progress. So even the bond work that isn't all the way completed to the amount that we've paid, it still has to be included as an asset.
Oh, I don't recall what the total federal assets that was listed was.
Oh, yeah, I can read
okay,
that.
Okay, that makes it clearer.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you got better eyes than I do there, Bigler.
I have it filtered to just things that were new last year.
Well, this would include property. This would include buildings.
Right. I mean, we have, I just filtered it down because it's hundreds of lines. Okay. So we had gotten some sousaphones, some welders. I mean, you can see all the
things. These are small
Right.
So what are the big items?
The like bond projects.
And
the
so I thought there was a lot of property and buildings.
Asser funds. So we did.
Yeah.
There is property, but that's not new. I thought the question was related to the new assets. Our total capital assets before the accumulated depreciation that we have to record on the financials is $120 million.
Right. I understand.
So
that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, but you're right. In the context of my question, what was the additional $14.4 million?
Right, and that's what I'm trying to show you.
Okay.
It's just hard to see on the... So,
maybe I'm giving
like,
you forewarning. I might have more questions.
That's okay.
Okay.
Like that first bond projects line is for Custer 2, and that's $1.3 million right now. And then the next one is bond projects at Raisinville, $555,000. Orchard, $95,000. Door and frame replacements at the district, which I believe was out of sinking fund, $500,000. Building addition at Custer 1, which was partially bond, partially sinking fund, $500,000. Almost $600,000.
Now, this doesn't include any depreciation at this point, right? It's just
correct. That's the gross amount. And on the statements, it shows accumulated depreciation, which is just a calculation we have to do for that district-wide statement. It doesn't actually get recorded on our books. The assets aren't kept on our books necessarily. This is purely for the financial statements.
What's the Chevy Suburban? I thought we bought vans.
So last year...
That was the CTE... purchase where they attempted to find a Ford Transit van
right.
and they couldn't, and then we had to bring it back to authorize
okay.
the Suburban.
Yep, I recall that now. Thank you.
Yep. Some timpani. I mean, we bought some van trailers. I mean, a lot of little things does add up.
Hey, Dave. Can I make the request? Can you hide column D so that we can
yeah.
see the description and the amount side by side?
The question.
Oh,
I thought it was
thank
the
you.
Question. Oh. Oh, you're right.
So Cassie,
yes.
the whole bill is an asset until we sell it?
Correct.
Okay.
So we do have to record, I don't know if everyone heard Tom's question about the home build. We do have to record it as an asset until it's sold. And then, so part of the deletions that you have on here are the home build or projects that were completed.
That's deleted somewhere else in the documents?
Correct. Okay. On the bottom, if you scroll all the way down, Dave. Yeah.
Now, since the home build.
So this, back up. So all those right there were the buses that we sold in that sale last year, July. And then they're a little bit further up, Dave. Was the CTE equipment that was sold out of the very old milling equipment. And then you'll see Trojan Build Home 4 and land. So we have to divide out the land cost of SMT between all the parcels. So each year a little bit of that falls off.
Now, since we have no actual cash value in the land, mm-hmm. do we just fix, 10% or something like that? Or, how do we...
For that particular purpose, I divided what we had recorded as the value of the land divided by the 8 parcels.
The value, how did we fix it?
That, I can't speak to that. That was already on there before.
Is it like the tax value?
I don't know if it's it's probably likely what we paid for the
even though we don't pay taxes.
Yeah. It would probably be what we paid for the land.
Way back
to which would have been I can tell you how long ago it was.
Yeah, right.
South and Hotel said that's a while ago.
Yeah. A day or two. Yeah.
Probably. It was 1927.
Oh, wow. That's probably when it actually subdivided itself.
When they brought
that's
the property?
Yep.
My house, I lived there, was built in 1930.
Wow. See, that's probably. I did not know.
So what we held originally on the value of that piece of property was just under $30,000. So, I mean, that has to be just what we paid for that lot back
then. Now, the Trojan build this year will have 2 years, right? Do we have to depreciate a part of that because we're going to have it?
It doesn't depreciate until it's no longer in progress. So at the end of this year, it'll be listed as construction in progress, which is non-depreciable. So we don't have to depreciate it until the subsequent year when it's completed.
Now, the other things, are they depreciated according to the IOS schedules, or do we have our own?
We have our own schedule. Most equipment, we say 5 years. Some equipment that we know will last longer, we do 10 to 15 years. And then we just do a straight line depreciation.
That makes sense.
Yep, and we typically do a $0 salvage value unless it's something that we know we could get a definitive amount for.
And then when we sell it, like the drum lathe for $5,000,
yep.
we use that as just since we've already depreciated it, taken the zero.
Yep, so I have to remove both the asset and the depreciation affiliated with it. So that's why in that table in the audit you have the assets and then the accumulated depreciation, and you will see deletions on there from assets that had depreciation that we removed because we sold.
My experience is industry, but if you sell something less than what the depreciated value is, how do you handle the write-off?
There is no write-off. Okay. This schedule is purely for the financial statement. It's only included in the district-wide statement that looks really gnarly because of all the OPEB liabilities that we have to take. Okay. But it's not. We don't actually have a depreciation expense in our ledger or anything. This is purely for the statements only.
Okay. And there's no 550 gains in the
consideration. What's a 550 gain?
Oh, that's when you recapture a loss, then you have to have a 550 gain, which is, for the IRS, is a favorable tax status.
But tax man.
I don't recall that.
So does that help a little?
Yeah, so I'm looking at this, and what I'm seeing is, it appears to be, based on what we've just shown, that it's a, I don't want to say it this way, but I have no else to say it, it's a nickel dime to $14.4 million.
Pretty, I mean, aside from those larger projects.
Yeah, but they were only $500,000.
Well, those are the ones that were completed this year.
Yeah.
This isn't showing.
More on here that we haven't seen?
Yeah, I have it filtered down because it's, you know, 800 and some lines.
But you have shown us everything for this year.
That's what we completed last year, yes.
And that adds up to 14.4 million? I'm just not seeing it.
No, that would add up to your 4.3 million. There's 13.8 million in construction in progress, which wouldn't show how I had it filtered.
And that includes?
That would be your bond projects that were ongoing that just started in June.
That's 10. What would they just, okay.
So that would be
remember
all
how
the
I
work.
Like to do mental math. I'm doing mental math.
I can.
So Cassidy, when we depreciate something completely out, do we wipe it off our capital assets then?
No, it still has to be maintained, but it's a net zero.
And we just put it
because there will be still the asset, and then it'll be fully depreciated.
So it's on your list somewhere.
Correct.
So like the van, the buses. The buses were an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus is sold for that money, and they're still listed as an at.
Like, they're not. That's in the retired assets. So those lathe machines and those buses, those are under retired assets. So that's what we sold this year.
So that doesn't add into 14.4 million.
Correct.
Okay.
That would be part of your deletions.
Is there any way we could have access to the capital asset list? Or?
I can try and print it in a clean PDF version.
All right.
So Darla, if you...
I was looking at like land and buildings.
So...
I got a crazy question.
Yep.
Because...
What do you do with it after you get it?
What, so what would you do about with PDF
land and buildings?
Oh, I think that's interesting.
Well, when you look at the system, you go, okay, it's $140-some million. What is in that? You know, what does it include? Because we know that Monroe owns land elsewhere within the county. And so my question was, like, my understanding is only because of the dog park do I know about the whole Rossler situation. It's true. That is the only way I know about it. But I was sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
But other than that, what other property does Monroe as a system own within the county that is included in this capital assets? Is there
aside
other land that is similar or whatever?
Yeah. So to bring that quick clarity, though.
That is aside from what we have existing buildings on?
Yeah.
So the only other pieces of property, the Rossler is adjacent to Riverside, so that's our property. The only ones that are not occupied anymore by buildings would be South Monroe Town Site, which is where we're building the home builds.
Right.
And then I believe we do still own the Christian C property.
Yeah, correct.
And
Navarre Field.
I still consider that occupied with the field.
But it's
but yeah. Yes.
But
and but the 20 acres field. Yeah. The 20 acres adjoining Raisinville is considered just part
correct.
Of Raisinville.
Correct.
But as far as like,
but we don't have land in groves throughout the county.
Yeah, we can't own property outside our own district.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't suggesting outside.
Oh, he said that's part of Monroe County. That's why
it may be considered occupied.
Oh yeah, sorry. My apologies for that. Within the boundaries. Yeah. Are there any buildings that are included that are not a current functioning system that is being utilized?
No, the only buildings we weren't occupying were torn down, which would have been Lincoln and South Monroe Townsite and Christian C.
Okay.
Which Lincoln we've sold. That's where the brand new fire department is. But
that was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The piece we own on the other side of the drain.
On the other side of the, yes.
Part of this.
We've got two parcels for this building, but I consider them together, yes.
So that's beside the moose?
No, not beside the moose, across the street. Between
across the street.
This building and Mr. Nectarline's house.
Okay, the house next to
go across the Mason Run.
We're not crossing
Mr.
This
Nectarline.
Street.
No.
Really?
Yeah. What runs down Mason Run?
Yeah.
Oh, Mason Run's right here.
Yeah.
You
we
mean
have
the water
property
line.
On the other side.
It's a drain.
Oh, I'm like, you're not talking about the development. Like, that is a little distance there, Larry. Yeah.
I will try and put in board briefs a hopefully readable version for you guys. Did you want me to rattle off some of the construction in progress? Would that be helpful or not helpful?
No, I think we've already went through those, so those are included. In my ability to educate myself on the finances, when I see stuff and I'm like, I really don't understand this, I always want to ask questions so I understand it. So coming down the road, when something comes up, I'm not continuously asking.
Right.
An educated person helps.
Sure.
Thank you, Cassie.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much right there. So we have asked to go to closed session at this time for the purpose of contract negotiations. So if the board would entertain that, I appreciate it.
Can we get a motion to go into closed session?
Motion.
Support.
Vote.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes. And when that door closes.